Father, I just ask that you would be with us this morning as Bill shares what you have laid on his heart about the reality of heaven and our assurance of being there. I just thank you for how you have blessed us with such a wonderful leader of our church that can impart the truths that God has shared with him. And I just ask that you would open our hearts up for that and be with him this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. Our students are at camp. Encouraged to pray for them. Pray that God just really speaks. Normally in camp, this is the time when things really start to gel. They've been together. The speaker's been able to establish a rapport, and they start to really come to that point of making decisions, not just for salvation, but to desire to live for God. What a great, every time. And some people say, well, but they come from camp, and it lasts for a while, the mountaintops, and then they fail. A big deal. Every positive moment is a good thing. Every positive one. So I'm glad that you who sent your kids to camp, I'm glad for those of you who paid for kids to go to camp, who don't even have kids, I'm thankful for that. Encourage you, next week's going to be a great week. Baptism in the first and second service. The family gathering out at the Bars House in Tracy, we'll just have a great time there, hearing back from the kids as well. It'll be a great opportunity. We've been looking at a series of What's the Recipe, and we're winding this down. We've looked at all kinds of recipes, from preservatives to marinades to What's the Recipe for Life. How do we do what we do? How do we walk by faith? All the recipes that come using real ingredients. What the flavor of our life? This morning, do you realize, how many of you like dessert? You like dessert? How many of you really like dessert? Yeah. How many of you are chocoholics? Forget everything else, just chocolate. Just chocolate. Well, do you realize that in some sense, when you look at it, I don't know who came up with this, that dessert has to be at the end of the meal. I mean, who was that guy? You know, because we kind of look at it like how many of you will withhold what you're eating during the meal so that you know you're going to have dessert? How many will do that? I've never done that in my life. I mean, what's in front of me, you know, that's what it's going to be. But I'm also not a dessert guy. So, you know, I could eat all of that and then just forget the dessert. But the issue is as we look at dessert, it's really the reward is at the end, isn't it? And we're going to eat all this. Okay, man, I'm getting rewarded for something, either cleaning my plate or if you're kids, you are a good boy and girl, so we're going to give you, here's your reward, here's your dessert. Now, what's your favorite? Tell me what your favorite. Nobody say vanilla ice cream because that's just boring, okay? But what's your favorite dessert? Cheesecake. Apple crisp. Pie. How many like fruit pies? How many of you like cream pies? How many of you are like our cobbler fans? You know, that's what you got to have, a cobbler. See, we have all of these kind of desserts that we have, and we end up having our favorite. And boy, it's just the best thing in the world. We come to our dessert. Reward is at the end. But as we looked at what the recipe, I realized as I studied for today, that we need to understand that in our life, there's a reward at the end. That we're here, and we're kind of in this main course of life right now. And life may not be easy. There's never a promise that it will be easier, that it'll be fair. The promise of the Lord Jesus that he would be with us as believers in every event of this life, that he would never leave us. We have that promise. We have that assurance. And yet at the same time, he also says within this that there's a reward at the end. And I think sometimes we forget about that. We forget about the fact that while we're here, this is not our home. We are here for a very short time in light of eternity. That there's a reward at the end of that. I don't know what you envision, but as I think of this, life's reward is heaven. This life's reward is heaven. What do you envision when you think of heaven? I mean, do you see streets of gold or the pearly gates? Do you see yourself sitting on a Barca lounger cloud that just kind of like, you know, reclined back there with the remote control? Do you see little angels fluttering around or something like that with harps? You know, I don't know what you envision in heaven. Some people think, oh, it's going to be a long church service. It's going to just be an unending church service. Or some people say, oh, it's going to be hymns for eternity. We're going to be sitting around singing hymns forever. Whatever you envision, you know, there's so much more to that. As you saw in the video, if you were here, the video that says, man, we can't even conceive of it. Life's reward is heaven. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness where everything's to be right. He said, we look forward to that. It's a promise that he gave us. And it's a wonderful promise in the Word. I mean, it's probably the greatest promise. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived. No matter how smart you think you are today, no matter what you conceive of heaven, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. To understand heaven, to see that with the issue of heaven, that it's the reward of our life, the reward here. Do we suffer here? Yes, at times we do. But we forget at times that heaven is our reward. And when we have our perspective about heaven, when we think about heaven, it changes our and loosens our grip to the things of this world. When we see heaven in all of its glory, we see God there, we see that's our reward, all of a sudden the perspective of this life changes. Which is why he says we are to look to the sky. We are to live with anticipation of the Lord's return. Why? So that we will be in heaven. That is our destination. That is our goal. This morning I want to tell you some things and just share with you some things that you know, but I want to bring them to mind once again, because what's the recipe for eternal bliss? It's heaven. But folks, heaven is real. It is real. It is not just some cosmic God who's sitting up there on that little cloud with all the angels walking by. Little, you know, like Cupid little angels. It's real. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. To be absent from this body as a believer, to be present with the Lord. This is an outward tent that will fail. It will die. But it is not our life. Our life is in him, in Christ. And that will be in heaven. John chapter 14, such a great passage as well. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that where I am, there you may be also. The problem is, I learned that so many years ago in the King James, and I just cannot look at that. I can't read it without doing King James. The reality is that heaven is a real place. People say, well, heaven's on earth. No, no, no. We see a veil. He says we see a veil through here. And yeah, there's moments that we have that, man, this is like heaven, and we have the worship, and we see the wonder of God, or we see God move. But it is not heaven. It is real. God has a plan for that. He created that. He knows heaven. But when we see heaven, not only is it real, and I don't know if this is a word or not, but rightness reigns. Rightness. Not just righteousness. Of course, we even read the verse, you saw the verse, that righteousness will prevail. But the issue is rightness reigns. Righteousness, justice, all things will come due, everything. Revelation 21, 4. He will wipe every tear away from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. We are living right now in the old order. You and I. The old order of sin, the old order of things that are falling apart. When God comes, when Christ comes, or you die, or when we are in heaven, the old order will have passed away. We'll be under a new order. We'll be in heaven. Rightness awaits. Rightness reigns. You know, as I was thinking about this week, everyone here who knows Christ will say, I love God. I love God. Every one of us would. But yet, every one of us who says, I love God, we are also encumbered by the weight of this world. We're encumbered by trying to love God in the midst of so many things that will distract us. Not all bad things. Some are great things. But they distract us from understanding loving God and focusing on heaven and focusing on him. That distract us from really having a priority of our life of the Lord Jesus, and that one day we'll be in heaven. Because as we think of heaven, if we live with that anticipation, it would change our day to day. But when we see that, when we understand our love for God will be unhindered. When we're in heaven, there'll be nothing. We won't have to come to church service and say, you know, I know there's a lot of stuff in your mind and your heart. Put it away so you can love God this morning and worship him. You really won't. We won't say that. There won't be that. It'll be natural. It'll be normal. The rightness, all sin will be erased. It'll be gone. Some people disagree with this next point, but I just think it's biblical. that heaven, that you and I, there is a reunion that awaits. Not just a reunion of the saints. I believe heaven will be relational. All the relationships won't be exactly the same as they are here on earth, on the old order. A new order will establish. But I believe we will know those and know who's gone before us. It says we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. There's a reunion taking place. I will know who they are. I hold to that hope, that assurance, that one day I'm going to be reunited and I'm going to be able to talk to my mom and see my dad. I'm going to be able to take some of these people that I've been around, what are you doing, and talk with them. It will pale in my comparison to worshiping God and to being at the foot of Christ and to see that. But listen, there's some things, there's some people, man, I just want to talk to. I want to go to Peter and say, dude, how'd you feel when you failed all the time? And God just said, here's grace. That's just got to be amazing. I mean, how's that leper going to feel? You know, I want to know when Jesus touched you, what you feel like. Have you thought of that, that there's a relational God? You say, well, I don't know about that. Listen, God created the garden. He put Adam in it. He created all the things that were in there. They had animals. They had, you know, they had all the different animals. They had the trees. They had all these things. And Adam was walking around. And yet God said, it was no sin was involved here. And he said, everything was good except one thing. That Adam was alone. Why? Because God made us to be relational people. And so what did God do? He created Eve. We are relational people. And within the reunion awaits. The reunion awaits. Heaven will be relational. That we will see that. Now the relationships will change and they won't pale in comparison. But you'll see everything. You'll understand why, how, when, where. Because God will give you that understanding. We will not be seen through a veil. We will be seen face to face. A reunion awaits. For some, that gives great hope when you've lost those around you who you love. I will tell you, the older I get, heaven is more populated with those that I long to see again. You who are young won't understand. But the older I get, losing people I love, seeing those who know the Lord, there's going to be a great reunion. A great reunion. People say, man, there's just think, no loss in heaven. No, there's going to be great loss in heaven. What? Just a play on words. There's going to be great loss. We're going to lose some things in heaven. Listen, we've already read it. No more sorrow. No more. Be gone. No more crying. I hope that's crying because of sadness and sin. I hope it's not losing crying because of joy and seeing the wonder of God. Older I get, I'm a big baby. I just cry, easy. I cry. I met with a family who lost a little one this week. And it was a great meeting. And as I was getting ready to walk out, their six-year-old daughter, who lost her little brother, came running out, pulled me down, and gave me a kiss on the cheek. And I cried. I hope the crying is just out of pain and sorrow and grief, but it's not of joy. It's not of seeing the wonder of God on display. Those tears of joy that we weep. He says there's no more pain. Boy, some of us really, really like that. Some of you who live in pain day in and day out. No more emotional pain. No more physical pain. No more relational pain. Whole. He says there's no more curse. There's no more curse. You know what that means? There's no more weeds. The kingdom of God will have no weeds. Now, there's a lot of things with the curse. But in the first service, especially, Jean was here. She comes every week and pulls weeds around this place. Heaven, he says, there's no more curse. The old will gone. Your sin is, there's no more, the old is gone. All will be changed. No more night. We won't have night. Night was created for us. Why won't we have night in heaven? Did you see that verse? Because the glory of God will illuminate and enlighten heaven. In him, there is no darkness. We'll live in the light. He says there'll be no more death. We'll have eternity. But I realized something. I was thinking of some of these restaurants that, you know, people want to go to just for dessert. We had a group of us one time. We were on vacation. We wanted to go to this restaurant Well, they wanted to go get creme brulee. I was looking for a turkey and Swiss on rye, but they were looking for creme brulee. That would be my dessert. And you have to get a reservation. You just can't show up. Well, why? Why can't I just show up? No. You got to have a reservation. If you don't have a reservation, you ain't getting in, because there's only so much. Do you realize that heaven has a maitre d', and he's taking reservations? Your reservations are accepted. I was reminded of this yesterday. Travis and Joanna got married, Travis Tyler. And after the service, after the wedding, I asked them, I said, okay, where are you going? They were getting on a plane, and I asked them, just because I do this now, because sometimes people think, we're going to be married, I'm going to use my new name, and they make a reservation under their new name. One problem, they have no identification under that new name. None. So we walked through that, and I realized reservations are accepted, but they're personal. Whose name are you flying under? The reality is, if Mike Sartoris went up, they said, are you flying? Yeah, I'm Mike Sartoris. Well, whose name are you flying under? Oh, Grace Community Church. Nah, we don't know that. Well, I'm flying. What was your dad's name? Rick? Rick. I'm flying under Rick. No. The reservation is accepted for individuals. And you fly under your name. And you think, well, that's just a silly point. Is it really? We have people, some of you, who sit in this church week after week who think you're going to get to heaven by some other means, by some other name. And there is no other name. And you have to make the reservation yourself. It's where you realize you were a sinner in need of a Savior. And God's gift was the Lord Jesus. He came and he gave his life for us. And written in that book, the Lamb's Book of Life, he says, okay, you're here. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come on in. Your reservation has been, your ticket's been punched. You're here. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Not because of this church, not because of your heritage, not because of all the things around you, but because you personally have realized, I need to change my dependence from me to dependence upon Christ based on what he's done for me. Boy, these verses aren't hard at all. John 3:16, are the most well-known verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting, eternal life. He gave his Son. John 14, verse 6. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Reservations are accepted. Now listen, the reality is that heaven is real. But, folks, listen to me. We don't talk and think much about heaven, and even though if we do, it's all grand and glorious. But listen, the reality that heaven is real also makes the reality of hell. We don't like talking about that. But hell is just as real. And when the Lamb's Book of Life is open, if your name is not there, he says you will be separated from the presence of God. And that's really hell. The separation from the glory of God for eternity. And if you don't have a personal relationship with Christ, if you haven't realized that he alone is the only way, then when your ticket is punched, when that time comes, whether we come because he comes for his believers, his family, his bride, or you lose your life for whatever, you stand before God, he's going to look in that Lamb's Book of Life and says, have you given him your life? And the reality of hell is just as real as the reality of heaven, which should motivate us to share, which should motivate us to share our faith with others so that they will know that God loves them, sent his Son to die for them, that they can have eternity in their hearts, even now, a glimpse of heaven, but then when we die, to be with him forever. Do you have your reservation? And what's it based on? Is it under your name? You know what I like about this? Most preachers probably would like this, pastors of churches, that heaven has a bank and investment opportunities are available. To invest in heaven. We have a lot about investing here and doing all the things here. We have our 401s. We do all. He says, listen, you can invest in heaven. There's investment opportunities. It keeps good records. What are you storing up for? Matthew chapter 6. The verse here, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where the stock market crashes, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's your treasure today? It's not just investing money, but investing our life in time, in talents, and using what God has given you. Yes, giving to help support the ministries of the church. Yes, giving to support ministries around the world. Yes, serving in ways you can serve, praying for people, praying for students. All of those things, the perspective of heaven and the perspective of investing in heaven. Because this is all going to be left behind. You're taking nothing with you. Nothing. You're probably going to leave it to your kids or perhaps your grandkids unless Christ returns, and then it's all worthless anyway. And the ones you're leaving it to aren't going to appreciate what you've done. Really, they won't. But he says, invest in heaven. Use it for the kingdom of God. Advance the kingdom of God. Seek first his righteousness. Seek him. But most of all, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The greatest reward, folks, of heaven is being with God. Face to face. Basking in his glory. To be there around, to face, to understand. We have a sense of his presence here, but there we will have a full understanding of the presence of God, of the glory of God. And that will be our home forever. As he creates a new heaven and a new earth, and our role within that, listen, that is heaven. Yes, we suffer here. Yes, we have hard times here. It's so minute in the picture of heaven. So today, rejoice that heaven is the reward at the end of this meal, at the end of this life. Whether he returns, Christ, or whether we pass away into heaven and that's glory, heaven is real. Focus on it. We're going to end the service as we began the service. We're going to end with the video. You may have missed it. You may not have seen it. You may not have paid attention to it. But I want you to see again. It's the word on heaven. And we rejoice therein. Let's watch the video.